Who or what do you serve? Do you basically serve yourself and seek your own good? The bottom line is that each of us is a slave to the one we serve. As Christians, we are slaves to God. This means that we are to serve and obey Him. We're to live lives that are characterized by righteousness, and yet we continue to struggle with sin. The Apostle Paul addressed that struggle in Romans chapter 6, and Stephen Davey teaches from that passage today.
Now, I have an announcement to make as we set sail again in our study here in Romans chapter 6. Here's the announcement. You happen to be a slave. That's right. No matter what your nationality, your creed, your citizenship, your heritage, you are a slave right now. Now, if that isn't startling enough, the Bible doesn't condemn this kind of slavery. In fact, it actually commands it. In verses 15 through 22, you could circle 8 different times the Apostle Paul refers to slaves or enslavement. Now, the idea of slavery was on everybody's mind here in first century Rome. Historians tell us that the population of Rome was comprised of at least 1/3 slaves. In fact, so vast was the slave population that the suggestion that slaves be made to wear a distinctive style of clothing was abandoned because it would reveal their numerical strength. Many were slaves from birth. Abandoned babies were often taken and raised as slaves. Selling yourself into slavery in order to pay off debts was very common, a form of what we would call today indentured servanthood. Probably as many as 1/2 of the Roman church either were or had been slaves at some point in their lives. One thing's for sure, everybody who read Paul's letter knew immediately what Paul meant when he said, "We are slaves," from doulos. We're either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. Now let's sail in here and pick up at verse 15. Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Now, Paul has already answered this question back in verse 1. Grace doesn't give us a free pass to sin. His point there was that believers don't want to live in sin because of who they are. Well, now here in verse 15, Paul is saying you don't want to live in sin because of what you will become. And this is the point he emphasizes now in verse 16. You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. In other words, beloved, we're either mastered by sin or mastered by God. Now, with that, Paul encourages us here in verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Now, what's the standard of teaching Paul is talking about here? Well, the Greek word translated standard, tupon, in classical Greek, the word was used of molds into which molten metal for castings was poured. So Paul is saying that we are essentially taking on a new shape. We're being formed by the teaching we've received, and we are committed to obeying. I like J.B. Phillips' translation of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, with the same idea. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. What a great thought. That is, we're being molded into a new shape, a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling, and a new way of living. And what are we being molded into? Well, he tells us here, slaves of righteousness, that is, right living. We have been set free from slavery to sin, now under righteousness. Now, with that, Paul changes the focus from our position to our practice. He writes here in verse 19, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members, your body parts, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. In other words, here's the picture. Jesus Christ bought you out of the slave market of sin. You now belong to him. He's your master and you're his slave. Well, somebody might say at this point, wait a second, what's the advantage of being the slave of God or to God rather than the slave of or to sin? You're still a slave. So you're still not free. Well, let me respond to that question with another question. How do you define freedom? Freedom isn't democracy, because people are still bound in their personal sinful lives. Freedom isn't license to do whatever you want to do, because living for yourself means, well, you become a slave to your own desires. The Bible defines true freedom as slavery to the right master. We've been set free from the bondage to sin, not to do anything we want to do, but to do what God wants us to do, because we now belong to him. And that is true freedom. Well, that might raise another question in your mind. Maybe you're thinking, well, if I'm freed from the enslavement to sin, then why do I still, struggle with sin? Well, that's a great question. I want to give you four reasons why you and I still struggle. And I need to warn you, these are very transparent and convicting reasons, but they're the reasons why we're struggling today with sin. First, we struggle with sin because we like it. Sin is appetizing. It's alluring. If we didn't like sin, we wouldn't be tempted to commit it. Let me tell you, I've never been tempted to eat spinach, and that's because I don't like it. Just because it grows on land doesn't mean it isn't seaweed. You can't fool me. That's what it is to me. I don't want to eat it. I'm not tempted to because I don't like it. Second, we struggle with sin because we think we can get away with it. Every time we lie, our noses don't grow longer like Pinocchio's, do they? In fact, come to think of it, it would be a great deterrent to lying if our noses did, but they don't. Third, we struggle with sin because we tend to redefine it. We tell ourselves it's something that's acceptable, so we can do it because it feels good, makes us feel good about ourselves. Maybe everybody else is doing it. Some time ago, I had a man in my office who'd done something very inappropriate. I called him in to challenge him, and he admitted it wasn't the wisest thing he'd ever done, but he agreed that, well, he ought to apologize for it. When I told him that it was a sin and he needed to ask God for forgiveness, he wrinkled up his nose and said, "That wasn't a sin. Why would you call it a sin?" Well, because it was. We struggle with sin because we rename it. We think we can manage it rather than admit it. Now, fourthly, we struggle with sin because we ignore how offensive it is to God. Joseph's response to the temptation of Potiphar's wife back in the book of Genesis provides a wonderful example of avoiding sin. He most certainly was tempted, and Potiphar, the husband, would have been clueless. Yet Joseph refused. And his reason was this. He said to her back in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, this is the motive Paul wants us to remember. God redeemed us. He rescued us from slavery to sin. How then can we turn around and serve that old master and offend the heart of God, grieve the Holy Spirit? Now, Satan doesn't want us to think that way, this angel of light. He wants to deceive us into thinking that, well, sin's a good idea. And today, beloved, the world calls sin freedom, while the Bible calls slavery to Christ true freedom. Paul puts it this way here in verse 21. "But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Makes you want to thank God that you're a slave today to Christ. Ray Stedman a pastor for many years, told the story of walking down a street in Los Angeles, and he saw a man coming toward him with a signboard hung over his shoulders. The letters on the front read, "I am a slave for Christ." And after the man passed by him, Stedman turned around to see what the sign on the backboard read, and it said this, "Whose slave are you?" You know, that's a great question today, because you are somebody's slave. The only question that remains is, whose slave are you? Well, until we set sail again on our wisdom journey, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson he called The Struggle with Sin. This is The Wisdom Journey, a production of Wisdom International. In addition to equipping you with these daily lessons, we also have a monthly magazine that we publish. In each issue, Stephen deals with a different topic. His desire is to help you better understand what the Bible says and how it applies directly to your life. He addresses real-life issues and questions such as, is hell real? Did God really create the universe in 6 days? How can you more effectively and courageously share your faith? How can you have a more vibrant prayer life? Why did God create a world where evil exists? How can fathers have a lasting and godly legacy? How should Christians view Islam? How should Christians be involved and engaged in politics and much more? The magazine also has a daily devotional guide. We hear from many people who keep the magazine near their Bible so they can read that devotional each day and be encouraged in their walk with Christ. We call the magazine Heart to Heart. This is a resource that we developed to show our appreciation to all of our Wisdom partners. We also send several issues of Heart to Heart magazine as a gift to everyone who asks. We'd like to send it to you if you haven't seen it. You can sign up for it on our website at wisdomonline.org/magazine. You can also call us today at 866-48-BIBLE. Call today, then join us next time on this wisdom journey.